Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
This year, Easter is late on the 20th of April, and so today, 30th of March 2025, is the fourth Sunday in Lent. Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke. In our reflection today, we look at Jesus' words in Luke 15, what is called the parable of the prodigal son. But first, words from Psalm 32, which might well have been used by the prodigal son to express his turning towards God. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. And then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Thank you.
Let's turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of mystery and mercy, we gather to worship you in humility and hope, because we trust you have the power to change the world for the better with the good news of Jesus Christ. We gather to seek you, trusting that no person or situation is beyond your concern or your embrace. Inspire us with a vision of love that will change the world and our lives through the love and mercy we meet in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. God of love and mercy, when we pause for a moment in your presence, the daily details of our lives press in on us. We recall things left undone, opportunities ignored. We remember careless words spoken, disappointments that trouble our souls. And so in silence we offer to you our misspent moments and missed opportunities. The psalmist said, I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. We bless you, Lord, that there is nothing in death nor life, things present nor things to come, that can separate us from your love and grace in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning with the first three verses and then at verse 11. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus then told them this parable. And moving on to verse 11, after the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' Well, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Amen.
If the road that you travel leads you astray, taking the wrong turns with each step you take, walking beside you wherever you roam, in good times or bad times, he's never too far. Look to the Lord, he's right where you
The parable that I just read to you is probably the best known and best loved of all the parables of Jesus. And if it's not, then it's second only to that of the Good Samaritan. But it's a very complex parable in that it has, if you like, more than one main character. And which character you listen to and which story you hear depends perhaps on what's going on in your life. Each of these characters is exaggerated. And so we begin with the son, the younger son, who runs away, messes up his life in the worst possible way, and ends up working for a pig farmer. And for a Jewish boy, working among the unclean animals, well, that's just too much. But if you are someone who has messed up their life, who has made wrong choices and burnt their bridges, squandered their capital as income, and done things that go against the grain of all that you have learned, then here is the story for you. But then it's a story for us all, because we're all naturally proud and self-willed. We spend our time and strength and faculties and affections on things that cannot profit. Like sheep, we all naturally go astray and turn everyone to his own way. So in the younger son's initial conduct, we see the natural heart of everyone. But then we come to the second character in the story, the father. In the face of a son who says effectively, "Dad, I wish you were dead, give me my share of the inheritance," here is the model of patience and forbearance. In the face of the son who has turned his back on the family farm, the family values, the family faith, he is the epitome of a liberal, generous, patient father. The word prodigal means having or giving something on a lavish scale. And this father pours out his emotional being on a prodigal scale. This story could have been known as the parable of the prodigal father. Now, this story is exaggerated, and it is not given as the model of Christian family life. For any parent will have boundaries and limits. It's part of being a good parent. And if we were to take this story at face value, and we're not, then we might well ask, how did the father let the son off with all that? I've known heartbroken parents whose drug-addicted children have stolen from them, abused their kindness, exploited their generosity, made the most of their second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. This story is not a template for how to deal with wayward children. This story magnifies the patient love of the father in order to point to the generous love of God for those who think that there is no love for them. And then we get to the third main character, the elder brother. And maybe in some ways, he is the main character. And why do I say that? Well, look at the context. There are the other parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep, which tell of God's rejoicing over sinners and bringing us home. But there's only one story which features the elder son. And the context is clearly spelt out at the beginning of chapter 15. The devout religious people are taking offence at the kind of company Jesus is keeping. They reckon that he should be steering clear of the tax collectors and outcasts, not feasting with tax collectors and sinners. So who is Jesus addressing this story to on this occasion? It's to those same devout religious people, a group of angry older brothers, if you like. So let's look at the angry brother's complaint for a moment. "All these years I've been working like a slave for you. I've never disobeyed you even once, and yet you've never even given me a young goat so I can party with my friends." Is that true? Is it likely to be true? Would the father, who watched with eager longing for the prodigal son to return, be so mean and stingy with his elder son that he would not even give a goat for him to have a feast with friends? This is an exaggerated story about exaggerated characters in order to exaggerate the meanings within them. This is not an example of a Christian family. Many of us have been in the church all our lives, and we've worked pretty hard to do the right thing. We put our money in the offering plate, not the brewing company's profits. We spent summers being camps counsellors and mission workers. We spent Saturday nights running coffee houses for kids. We've taken our faith seriously. We kept ourselves for our marriage partners. We turned the other cheek. If we can relate to the angry older brother, it is because we continue to make exactly the same mistake that he did. We misunderstand our heavenly father just as the elder brother in the story understood his exaggerated human father. In the story, the father says, "Everything I own is yours. God's grace is all ours. It's lavished on everyone who will receive it. And the only way to miss out is to refuse your seat at the table." And one son nearly missed out because he ran so far from the table, he nearly didn't find his way back. And the other son, the angry elder brother, may yet miss out if he refuses to sit at table with the younger son. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will not be able to give himself over entirely to rejoicing and celebrating until all are seated at the table.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Let us again turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you are always seeking the lost and rescuing the enslaved. You created the earth and called forth its crops. In Jesus Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. In him you have sought us out and welcomed us to your banqueting table. And when those who resented your grace crucified him, you raised him to new life, and through him you are reconciling the world to yourself. And at the first sign of repentance, you run to us with your arms open and your heart full of compassion. And though we squander our birthright, you lay the table with the richest of food and wine to celebrate our restoration to your life. Creator God, You made all things and called them good. We pray for the earth in its vulnerability, depleted by our lifestyle choices and our economic expectations. Inspire reverence for the earth in all people. Guide us all to make wiser choices for the sake of your creation. Help us use resources wisely with future generations in mind, guarding the fragile balances you have set between many precious species. Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, you taught us of God's reconciling grace. Speak to the hearts of all your people, that in this time when so many neighbours and nations sit in judgment on one another, provoking conflict and resentment, teach us how to seek peace on earth together, and call those in positions of power and influence to work for the common good. Turn us away from anger, fear, violence, or vanity, which can turn neighbour against neighbour and nation against nation. In this season, as we approach a Canadian general election, may you give wisdom to all who stand for high office, and may you give wisdom to all who make their choices in ballot boxes. Spirit of power and promise, embrace us with hope this day, that we may live faithfully, encouraging each other by the commitment we see in Jesus Christ. Help us in our life together as Christian folk in our churches to model and to exhibit the generous grace which the Father showed in that story to two different kinds of sons, both of whom needed the fullness of their Father's love. May we, whatever our circumstances be, know the fullness of your love in our lives. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.